CD 6.
The wind roared in when the doors were opened, swirling twigs and rain and Granny Weatherwax, blown like a leaf. She was soaked and covered in mud, her dress torn in several places. Agnes realised that she'd never actually seen Granny Weatherwax wet before, even after the worst storm. But now she was drenched. Water poured off her and left a trail on the floor. "Mistress Weatherwax, so good of you to come," said the Count. "Such a long walk on a dark night. Do sit by the fire for a while and rest."
"I'll not rest here," said Granny. "At least have a drink or something to eat, then." "I'll not eat nor drink here."
"Then what will you do?"
"You know well why I've come."
"She looks small," said Perdita, "and tired too."
"Ah, yes, the set-piece battle, the great gamble, the Weatherwax trademark. And, let me see, your shopping list today will be, if I win, I will expect you to free everyone and go back to Uberwald. Am I right?"
"No, I will expect you to die," said Granny.
To her horror, Agnes saw that the old woman was swaying slightly. The Count smiled.
"Excellent! But I know how you think, Mistress Weatherwax. You always have more than one plan. You're standing there, clearly one step away from collapse, and yet I'm not entirely certain that I believe what I'm seeing."
"I couldn't give a damn what you're certain of," said Granny. "But you daren't let me walk out of here, I do know that, 'cause you can't be sure of where I'll go or what I'll do. I could be watching you from any pair of eyes. I might be behind any door. I have a few favours I might call in. I could come from any direction at any time. And I'm good at malice."
"So, if I was so impolite, I could kill you right now. A simple arrow would suffice. Corporal Fitz." The mercenary gave a wave that was as good as he'd ever get to a salute and raised his crossbow.
"Are you sure?" said Granny. "Is your ape sure he'd have time for a second shoot, that I'd still be here?"
"You're not a shape-changer, Mistress Weatherwax, and by the look of it, you're in no position to run."
"She's talking about moving herself into someone else's head," said Vlad.
The witches looked at one another.
"Sorry, Esme," said Nanny Og at last. "I couldn't stop myself thinking. I don't think I'd drunk quite enough."
"Oh, yes," said the Count, "the famous borrowing trick." "But you don't know where, you don't know how far," said Granny wearily. "You don't even know what kind of head. You don't know if it has to be a head. All you know about me is what you can get out of other people's minds, and they don't know all about me, not by a long way."
"And so yourself is put elsewhere," said the Count. "Primitive.
I've met them, you know, on my travels, strange old men in beads and feathers, who could put their inner self into a fish, an insect, even a tree. And as if it mattered. Wood burns. I'm sorry, Mistress Weatherwax, as King Verence is so fond of saying, there's a new world order. We are it. You are history."
He flinched. The three witches dropped to the ground.
"Well done," he said. "A shot across my bows. I felt that. I actually felt it. No one in Uberwald has ever managed to get through."
"I can do better than that," said Granny.
"I don't think you can," said the Count, "because if you could, you would have done so. No mercy for the vampire, eh? The cry of the mob throughout the ages."
He strolled towards her.
"Do you really think we're like some inbred elves or gormless humans and can be cowed by a firm manner and a bit of trickery? We're out of the casket now, Mistress Weatherwax.